From the Gospel, according to Mark. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into his tomb. She saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I am not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
You know, let me tell you, I am emotionally exhausted in a good way. Because the Lord promised me over a year ago that this church would be a church that would focus on restored in order to restore. And I did an awesome baptism where a gentleman named Samuel came to our church broken and just dying spiritually inside of him. And I had the privilege of leading this dude to Christ. And he came and just said, "I need God." And so at the first service, we baptized him, and man, it was a celebration. To hear Leo coming back to church after years of being gone and loss of his mother just a month ago, or a little over a month ago, man, incredible story of restored in order to restore. It's another incredible story, which was interesting to me, is these two. I did their wedding yesterday. We're basically in an eight-year journey of theirs. It's been hard. And I met them a few months ago and basically just told them, "Why don't we do the wedding at the resurrection weekend and to restore your relationship?" And they're here. And so there's a lot of things to be excited about what we've seen. Oh, wait. I'm told I need a break for a commercial. The worship set was sponsored by Walmart and Cranberry Candies. Please watch this commercial. We are corporate sponsored now. Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hop, and Easter's on its way. Oh, here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hop.
Get unbeatable prices on all your Easter fun this year. Easter costs less at Walmart. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Something more cuddly. Yeah. Bigger. Friendlier, maybe. Thank you. Not quite what we had in mind, yes.
Everyone wants to be the Cadbury Bunny, because only he brings Cadbury cream eggs with their delicious milk chocolate outside and creamy filling. While others may keep trying, there's only one Cadbury Bunny, and nobody knows Easter better than him.
All right, now we're back to the second part of the service. Just kidding. You know, the reason I'm showing those commercials, if you remember the first one, Easter doesn't cost much at Walmart. Apparently Jesus was not at Walmart. But the other was the cranberry commercial. And if you remember that, that means you're old. Because that came out in 1994, that commercial about who wants to be the cranberry thing. And the reason I'm sharing this for you is sometimes our culture has looked at Easter and has commercialized it. How all of a sudden we look at it and it's all about the children. Children are great. It's all about the Easter. And these perfect little children in the Walmart commercial are sharing their eggs. I've never seen this. I've seen kids stealing eggs, taking eggs from each other, throwing them at them. And they get disappointed when there's a scripture verse in the egg and not candy. What's up with this? Hey. You know that's why I have issues, right? And so you look at this, Easter is not just about chocolate bunnies. It's not about eggs. It's not about having family over. It's not just like a Walmart commercial. But churches don't help much either. Because we wear our best, don't we? Look at me. And the thing is, I was so excited because I was strutting around going, I look good. And then Martin, you know, my wife didn't say anything, but, you know. So Martin goes up to me and he goes, hey, real loud, Jacoby and Myers. And I go, dude. I go, you're not getting $2.1 million. I'm telling you right there. I don't like Martin. It was a good joke. But what we do is we dress our best. We come to church as a family. We take pictures. We check in at the Marine Christian Fellowship. We say he is risen. We've kind of commercialized Easter Sunday in the church as well. And so this is interesting to me, but I wonder if, because see, this is where my problem is. I grew up in the church. That's an issue in itself. My dad's a pastor. That's an issue. My grandfather's a pastor. That's an issue. My two uncles are pastors. Those are issues. And so sometimes when we're brought up about Easter, we're told what to believe, how Easter is. It's about this incredible celebration. But when you read this gospel that we read, it's not all about perfection. It's not all about perfect. It's not all about this, but it's about this. And so if you look on the screen, the real Easter story is about real human flesh. It's about dirt and confusion. And a God who has tendency to be surprised us by not ending stories in the way that we anticipate they will end. The gospel, Mary Magdalene, I'm telling you, if I get to heaven, I'm going, I want to meet this woman. This woman had incredible faith in Jesus, even if she thought he was dead. She wanted to be with him. And so Mary Magdalene on her first Easter, wasn't a perfect Easter, was it? She was confused. She was crying. She was broken. She was emotionally exhausted. She just saw her Lord and Savior die, and she believes that he's dead. And so when she went to the grave, she saw the tomb rolled away. And you would think that they would believe Jesus, like, oh, yeah, he's risen. But no, she was exhausted emotionally. And basically, she went in the tomb looking for Jesus and no Jesus to be found at that moment. Just his burial clothes. It says that angels, two angels, asked her a question. And I'm telling you right now, if I was in the tomb and two angels started talking to me, I'd be down for the count. I'm telling you right now, I'll be down for the count. But the angel said, whom are you looking for? And she says, I'm looking for Jesus. Where did you put him? In fact, it's interesting to me when she asks this. This is where, you remember I tell you all the time, scripture cracks me up. And I look at this and I go, this is so real. It's not the Easter that we think it is. In fact, she says in John chapter 12, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Now, this is where it fascinates me. Mary was tight with Jesus. He's been dead. He died 3 days ago. You would think the girl would recognize him, right? Sometimes I haven't seen you in a week. I know who you are. I just don't know your name, but I know who you are. Sorry. I'm going to give this Steve some Easter issues. And so what's interesting, it says he was a gardener. Does that stick out to you? Why would they put that in scripture? They thought he was a gardener. Now, you can make all kinds of jokes, but this is what I think it is. Jesus was covered with the dirt of the tomb. Jesus was a mess. He just carried the weight of the world. He was exhausted. And what was interesting, this is not the white Jesus that we see, that like a Tide commercial, raising his hand like this with a big halo on his head and all this stuff, and we go, "Oh man, he's super powerful." No, this guy, Mary didn't even notice him, recognize him. See, in Easter Sunday, you don't hear a pastor like myself preach about Jesus coming out of the grave full of dirt. But that's what Scripture leads to us to believe. See, maybe it's because we have sanitized Jesus into this perfect Jesus for people that are perfect. For this Jesus that we like to him to be like us, to be perfect, to look like us, to act like us. And so therefore, because we wear our Sunday best, we hope Jesus wears his Sunday best. He doesn't. In fact, if you look on the screen, we like the highlights. The cute baby in the manger, right to the glory of the glowing resurrected Jesus. We tend to skip over the lowlights. We cling the manger scene of the manure, and we cling up Jesus before he comes out of the grave. But we also tend to skip all the messy stuff in between, how Jesus lived, who his friends and followers were, mostly people considered lowlifes, what he taught, and the brutal way in which we humans put him to death. Now here's where it gets interesting, because we like to skip over this, but let's not skip over the mess. Follow me on the screen. We humans tend to think we have God all figured out, but the God we visualize is usually just a projection of ourselves, and he tends to be a bigger version of the tyrants we can so often be. So God had to surprise us by becoming like us, to show us what God is really like. And so God didn't come out for the privileged human who could have used power and wealth to stay separate from us and to sanitize himself from a real, often dirty human life. No. When God became human, God went all the way. I want to show you this. There's a picture here. This is John and Becky. Saturday. They come to our Saturday service, and they just had their baby on Wednesday, I believe. Look how sanitized that picture is. He doesn't wear that on a regular basis. You know that. He doesn't wear gloves when he holds his wife. But you look at that picture, everything is sanitized. Everything is clean. Everything is perfect, right? Except the paint, I'm sure. But Jesus didn't have a birth like this. Jesus was born dirt poor in a dirt barn. He had nothing. Nobody. No family. No one would even let a pregnant woman take the room. But yet, she had Jesus. See, this is where it gets powerful here, because Jesus was a nobody. In fact, if you understand theology sometimes, that Joseph was mocked a lot when he was, they didn't project that. He was mocked a lot because he goes, you're not Jesus' daddy. So Jesus grew up like this. In fact, Jesus was so poor that not the prestigious, not the ones in power, not the privilege that would follow him, but it was the ones that were treated like dirt. It's the ones that the life wasn't fair. The injustice, that's who Jesus reached out first. That's who followed him first. And the thing is, what's interesting, that the best people did not choose Jesus. It was the brokenhearted. It was the physical broken. It was the difficulties that they're going through. In fact, if you wanted to know who Jesus' peeps were, that's me trying to sound cool, they were the drunks. They were the tax collectors. They were the prostitutes. All the people that we wouldn't let in church of Easter Sunday. You hear me? They were broken. They needed to be restored in order for them to restore others. They didn't have medical insurance, these poor people. So what Jesus did, he didn't scream. He healed them. In fact, their famine's going on in the world, that people were starving. He fed them. Circumstances in their lives that they were feeling oppressed, and he set them free. They had a Jesus that they could connect to because they knew Jesus had the life that they had. And he spoke the good news to us. It says on the screen, in me the kingdom of God has come near to you. In other words, he's saying, God isn't just coming for the well-off people and the ones that live in the suburbs or whatever it is, but it's come for you and me. This is a Jesus that I connect to now. When I grew up, I had to hide my imperfections. I had to hide my tremors. I had to hide my speech impediment. If you've been part of our church more than 10 minutes, you know I'm not perfect. It's just me. But I serve a Lord that loves me for who I am. And that Lord is who he loves you for who you are. He loves you to the point that he doesn't want to change you until he embraces you. He loves you more that he wants to redeem you in the way he called you. When I look at Leo, when I look at Steve and Nancy, Steve. When I look at Samuel, it's all about redemption. It's all about healing. And so this is where Pastor Nady Weber said, and I was debating on whether just quoting it myself so I can sound intelligent, but I'm gonna give him the credit because he said it. Follow me on the screen. The thing that really cooked people's noodles, I like that. Have you heard that? Cook people's noodles. Wasn't the question, you knew I didn't write it if I said that. The thing that really cooked people's noodles wasn't the question, is Jesus like God? It was, what if God is like Jesus? What if God is not who we thought? What if the most reliable way to know God is not through religion, not through a sin and punishment program, but through a person? What if the most reliable way to know God is to look on how God chose to reveal God's self in Jesus? People go, what if God is like Jesus? Of course he's like Jesus. That's why he sent his son, so we can know God. He came to reveal himself. The God that Jesus reveals, and the church often tries to gloss over and sanitize the Jesus, but the Jesus that we know, man, really got into the dirt of things. He said some incredible things, some controversial things like love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Yeah, no. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. See, look on the screen. Our dirt, our smells, our sins, and even the fact that we put him to death in the most cruel and violent way did not stop God from reaching all the way into the mess to love us. And when Jesus rose from the dead, we are shown that even the most feared aspects of the human condition, death itself, cannot separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing we can do or be on our own to reach up and make God love us. Instead, God reaches down and surprises us with his love. It may shock you, But God's not afraid to get in your dirt. God's not afraid to carry your dirt. God loves you. That's a real Easter story, dude. See, on the screen, the real Easter story is not on everyday event. But once we trust our lives in the story, we begin to experience the resurrection as an everyday event. The way God loves us through Jesus begins to transform us. Parts of ourselves, baggage we carry, attitudes we are afraid to let go, habits that use to cling to us like glue, and our security blankets begin to die each day. And we find that we begin to live a new life of freedom of love. During the next 7 weeks, I'm going to try this whole new series. And I call it Resurrection Stories. Because all of us have stories of resurrection. Whether we're in the beginning or we're in the middle, because we're never at the end of it. And so here's the crazy thing. 2 weeks from today, I want to show you this picture. This is me years ago, dedicating an infant. I've been doing this for a long time. Now, my greatest pain in life is not to be a father. Now, some of you that have kids, you go, why is that a pain? You're a dink, double income with no kids. Come on, enjoy yourself. I get it. Your kids are crazy. But it would be nice to be called dad. It would be nice to leave a legacy. But somehow God uses some interesting things. Because the infant that I'm dedicating, his mother asked me to be the godfather. And I go, me? I'm messed up. I just went through a divorce. I'm all screwed up. I got fired from everything I do. And so years later, just a few years later, Jacob and I became buddies. I was about 60 pounds lighter. But during this year, it was interesting because I was contemplating leaving the ministry. It was too hard. And I preached a sermon, and my godson was sitting with his mother. His mother came to me in tears and said, guess what Jacob said? I said, I have no idea. He said, I want to be like Daddy Kevin. I want to be a preacher. I couldn't quit. And it's interesting when he calls me Daddy Kevin to this day. This is a picture of him now. He's going to be team preaching with me in 2 weeks. He just finished seminary to be a pastor. And guess what? He's moving to Washington State, Warm Beach, in this denomination to start off in the same position that I was in. So the thing is, redemption. Two different stories, two different times, but the same destination. I'm a dad. I made an influence on this kid's life. I want to tell you, join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. There's incredible stories that we're going to work out in the next 7 weeks. But I want to send you a link. If you pull out your connection card, I want to send you a link to a video that's called The Power of Resurrection. And I also want to send a link to you if you're new to the service, and we want to send a gift to you if you're brand new to the service. And if you fill out your connection card, the connection card says this: I want to know the surprising transformation love of God in Jesus Christ so that I can experience an everyday resurrection this Easter season. Please send me the link to the video. Let's stand and pray, and then after we pray, we're going to greet each other in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the celebration of Samuel. We thank you for the celebration of Nancy and Steve. We thank you for the celebration of Leo's life of restoring in order to restore. But we pray, Lord, that there's more stories to be heard. And we thank you, Lord, for being the Jesus that we as broken people can connect to. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,